everyone. Ross has asked for some kind of closing argument. but maybe I obviously was getting enthusiastic in the beginning and maybe rushed the end. So I just really want to reiterate that we mustn't be discouraged by this. Sometimes my husband and I, we both like look at each other with wide eyes. And we like, we just feel so overwhelmed. And also with Rayan, we chat and we're like, really, can we really do anything? And then we're like, what else can we do but stand? And I think we don't, you know, we have to just know who our God is, and we have to just stand. So I think one of the things for me as well is just to encourage each of us, those of you who are parents, but not just as parents, but what has been taken away and has been slowly whittled away, but we've also done it, we've given it away, is our areas of authority, our God-given areas of authority. So I just want to perhaps just reiterate that, is that God has delegated areas of authority, and underpinning it is firstly that self-government. So we have a requirement to govern ourselves and to teach our kids to govern themselves, because the less that we self-govern, the more the external comes in and starts to actually take over those areas. So we have to also teach our kids self-control, and we have to be self-controlled. So there aren't the need for more and more laws to become intrusive. And then the other side is to actually recognize the lanes that have been given. So each sphere of authority has a jurisdiction and an authority. So we have an authority over our family. We don't have an authority over somebody else's family. But in the same way, the state doesn't have an authority into my family, unless there's obviously an abuse. But in general, around the moral and those issues, we have been given the commission to raise our families in the ways of the Lord. And so then also the other spheres is the church. And again, this is what's happening, is the state is going to start to try and intrude with the, you know, there's non-conversion therapy laws and then the hate speech bills. It's an intrusion. And I know at one stage they even wanted to read the sermons. It's coming, and we have to pray and trust the Lord to keep those spheres, you know, in their lanes in the same way the state. And this is what's happening, is it's coming into areas which it's not supposed to. So there's a pushback, but also to recognize that there's a greater authority over all of these authorities, and that's God. And so the family is a God-given sphere. It's from Him, and we as parents are the authority in that sphere. So whenever something comes, we go, no, not your area, God-given area, and we give accountability to Him.
Okay, I'd like to do two things. The first is, here's an example of the book that Carl and Zoe were talking about. It's Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, Pornproofing Today's Young Kids. This is the version for the 6 to 12-year-olds. And then there's a 3 to 6-year-old one, which is the one that I first saw. And my kids are 4 and 6, and I'm like, I want that book now. And I couldn't get one because they're still busy printing it. Rayan Smith, who's with Cause for Justice, bought the rights to publish and print this book here in South Africa. And they're busy printing, I think they're printing 1,000 of the kids' versions now. I think he's selling them for $150. So I've actually shown this to my son's teacher at the school, and they want 2 copies for the library. I think if in every school, in every home, every homeschool, something like this is just really, really useful to use. So if you want to have a look at it, I've got some copies. If you want to take a squiz.
Just this week, I spoke to a lady who's busy translating it in the Afrikaans version. So I don't know if you're aware of that, but yes. She said it's still going to take some time.
Yeah, so they've taken this, they're translating it to Zulu, Afrikaans, I think Khoza, and they're also going to, you know, it's predominantly European children in this, so they're going to make it, they're going to put a Gogo or two in, and, you know, it's multiracial, so to make it fit into South Africa. But this version, I think they've got 1,000 of this one, and then they're going to be printing some of the other stuff as well.
Okay, thanks.
My second point is, as I've spoken about these things and I've spoken with people in the church around these issues, there's been this massive surge in churches as we've talked about it. I think the first thing is that God is telling us to wake up, word wakker. Stop playing around now, because you realize you didn't care about this until they came into your school and after your children. You realized that for the last 10, 15 years you haven't done anything. And now all of a sudden everybody's worried about it. There's an urgency to take what God's teaching us and teaches us seriously, to start living that out and to working it out. The second thing is that you need to decide which side of the, whose side are you on? As Nicola was talking last night, and the angel comes before Joshua, is like, you're on the Lord's side or you're not. Who are you afraid of? Are you afraid of what the crowd, the mob will say to you? Or do you stand with what God asks of you? And I've had to do that for myself. I'm being threatened with being reported to the Health Professionals Council. I trigger people through the talks that I give. You know, they're going to report me to university, lose my position there. What does that mean for me? What is that? How are we going to work that out? And that ties into this thing that you need to have things in the right way, in the right order. It starts off with God and your relationship with Jesus Christ, studying that, being in the Word. And the next step from that is to focus on the family. The biggest impact that you as a mother or a father can have is in the family. Go home, love your wife, love your husband, love your kids and raise them. That is the most powerful impact that you could have on South Africa. And then taking that family into the church and families together making the church, having that. And that is how we, that's how Jesus changed society. He took, you know, from nothing, within 400 years, the Roman Empire was Christian. That's how it built from that process, with God at the center of it, and then the family, then the church, then the society, then the universities. And this attack on the structure of us is coming from universities into the media, going after the children, going after us. So they understand the methodology and the mechanism. That's why there's the hate for the family. And he is in control, as you've said. So, you know, it's a call to arms in some ways. Get serious about it. And I would also hope that from something like this, it didn't just stop there. You know, it's like, so what now?
Just in that what now, tomorrow, Andre Webster, who's a sexologist in the area and a pastor at El Shaddai Church, he'll come to, he wanted to be part of this panel today, but he's only flying back this afternoon. But he'll be ministering both in the morning and the evening about sex, sexuality, and God's will. So just in general way. But he has a few courses that we will try and facilitate us in into how do we think biblically about sexuality, but also bring a lot of wholeness, you know, because of violence and abuse, because of molestation, and also just how do we as parents. So he's got a few courses that he runs and that he's going to roll out here, and we'd love to train a few facilitators. So if you look at the bottom of your seat, you'll see that there's a card. There's a card. If your name is on, then you're a facilitator. No, great. That's great. I wanted to give an opportunity to a few people who have questions. Just, we only have time for two questions or three questions. If you have a question for these two, just about your children, parenting, school, something in that area. Derek, I'm going to give you the microphone.
A question to whoever wants to answer it. Just the idea of how do you deal with other parents that maybe don't have a background in see it's important, or, you know, kids will be kids and all those arguments. How do you start that conversation and kind of guiding your child, but in the atmosphere or in the perspective of they are in a group, but specifically with other parents?
We do this, where one hopes that one is influencing. So I think this is something that I think Raitza and many of us have had on our hearts, is that there's a massive need. So I hear you on the one-on-one, but on a greater thing is that you actually have to start influencing the culture. And this is the salt and light. So we're starting to do more and more of this, and the Lord has really opened where you actually... our equipping. So I think one is to equip fellow Christians and fellow Christian parents in this kind of a platform. On the one-on-one, we also have to be respectful that not everybody is Christians. So we can't evaluate or expect people to act in the same way of those who are not renewed, to act in a way that has been renewed. So one has to also be respectful in the sense that we cannot control other people. That's not our place. We can be salt and light, and we can be influencers, and we can be respectful. But I think there's things that we also have to, like with other parents, with our own children, there are boundaries that we can place. So with other parents and other expectations, there's certain things that they cannot be exposed to, our children cannot be exposed to. And so in that way, you can create boundaries as the authority of your children. And then also in that way, for us, we moved home with also the purpose of becoming a teenage net. So we moved close to the school, we got a place with a swimming pool, and it's close to a place where the boys can go play soccer, and we also tried to move the locus of the influence into our home. So
my thoughts are, what is good, what God has decreed is good for everybody, not only Christians. It's the law of what he says, don't have sex outside the marriage. That's a biblical principle. But cultures recognize that a marriage is sacred, and that when you break it, it causes problems, and you have outside pregnancies. And we can show in sociology that you have multiple partners, your happiness factors goes down. Children born out of wedlock do worse. So when you're talking about these issues, we share in a school a public space that we all share, particularly in public schools, that everybody has to be able to move across. These universal values of what is good and right, when I put my thing up there, everybody knows what's good or right. So setting systems up, pushing the school governing bodies, being on them and influencing an environment where if it were Christians on the majority or Muslims on the majority or atheists in the majority, the school environment would still allow you to function freely and safely. So that type of principle when you're making decisions. So I know that every other mother and father generally has got the best interest of their child at heart. What is the best interest for their child? Now, not from a Christian perspective, but from just, in general, not being exposed to pornography. Can we all agree on that? Cool. No sexual training there. This is how the stuff that you put it in. So when people hear about CSE, non-Christians or people that are not aware of it will go, that's not an issue. But then they see the images and they'll go, I don't want my six-year-old looking at it. So that's how, and then it's you actually taking that conversation into the school governing body and or into the environment. And so I text this to my boy's teacher, and then she says, cool, I want, now these books are going to be in the library. And I'm going to try and see if I can't buy 20 of them, and maybe we can give it or say, come and get it from at the school, so that the people in my child's environment are going to have this type of training or the opportunity to get that training. So you will get guys that are pushing that agenda because they believe in it, but then, there will be some conflict. But again, you're trying to work in a common sphere. The biggest problem is that if you're not involved, if you just back off, and like in the past, when we were at school, it was going to get a inverted commas Christian education. Just leave it. Off you go. That's a thing of the past.
Sorry, you reminded me. Yours was a very good answer. So, in the school governing body, when you sit, anyone on school governing bodies here? Okay. Good. So one of the things is that you think you're going in as a parent and you're representing as a parent, but you're actually not. You actually then you have to represent the school, because there are teachers on the school governing body, there's admin staff, and then there's the principal, and then there's parents. So the parents are the majority. And you have to be guided by the principal, is this in the best interest of the school? And that's exactly what you're saying. So we have this push for a diversity policy in our school and a drafting of a diversity policy. And a particular person with a certain slant, presented this diversity policy, and I'm like, no, this is typical of what we're currently seeing in the whole critical theory, well, gender theory. And then I fed back. I said, look, if we're talking about diversity as pluralism and an environment where the kids, you know, they're individual kids and they feel that they can flourish, then I'm all for diversity. I said, but if we are defining diversity in terms of specific grievances and as an opportunity to elevate those interests above other interests, then I don't think this is in the best interests of the school. And I think this is going to lead to polarizing, and actually we can see this in other schools, especially in America, where it leads to polarizing. So you can actually argue for it. And the thing is with this as well, as you were saying, what is in the best interest of the school, because these principles will be in the best interest of everyone and the school. So, yeah. Sorry?
It was a good answer.
Thanks. I have to improve on the first one.
Yes. Thanks. That was Cole.
Can you
speak over the microphone? Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, guys. So just one question. I think you kind of briefly touched on it also. But just for current parents and prospecting parents, is there a message of comfort when entering these school systems and when you are serving on the school board or whatever? Is there a message of comfort to say that, listen, your parents do actually have an influence or can have a say? Because I'm just thinking of an example, an high school in Gauteng, Noordheuvel, who is currently busy instating like unisex bathrooms. Now, when I asked out about it, it's apparently law that these things should happen. So what influence does parents have? Do parents have in these things?
You start in case you have FOMO.
I hope it'll be better. So just on that statement, there's no law anywhere in South Africa that says you must have unisex bathrooms. This is part of the education thing. No school must take the government CSE regulations. It's not. Schools have, particularly private schools, private schools more so than public schools, but public schools are run by school governing bodies. They have massive degrees of autonomy. They get a curriculum in what they should be taught in general, but the content of it is, there's nothing on it. There is no law that says you must have unisex bathrooms. I know, because we've commented on the most progressive law, which is the Western Cape one. It doesn't say that. What it does say is that you might need to make accommodation, reasonable accommodation for somebody of the opposite, of who's a transgender person. What does that mean? We actually think that the best way to deal with that is to have unisex bathrooms. So that process, I've been involved in about three or four schools now that are going through this transgender issue because there's somebody, a child that's transitioning. In two of them, the school governing body has capitulated and given up the definition of what it means to be a boy or a girl. So they keep all their regulations the same, but they say a boy is whatever the child defines himself as. So if the boy says, I'm a boy, he's a boy. If the boy says, I'm a girl, then he is a girl and treated like a girl. The school governing body there has lost it. They've lost the absolute foundation. They've given up the biological reality and have replaced it with ideology. The other schools have said, no, this is a disorder, a problem, a challenge that this child is facing. We need to accommodate somebody with the problem. How do we accommodate this child with a clinically diagnosed problem in a reasonable way, taking into account everybody else's regulations? The school governing body there has got, on average, maybe slightly more Christian spin on it. There's more Christians in it. One or two in particular that have taken the time to get involved in this, and they've been able to stop it and say, let's get a policy that makes sense. In the capitulation thing, when anybody can be a woman, then nobody is a woman. So then everything that a woman stands for no longer exists. Then there is no women's sports or women's segregation or women's toilets or women achievements. There are not even parents or mothers, they're just birthing persons. The people that, by accepting the grounds on which they accepted their child, they've given into the entire philosophy. Not because they wanted to do it, just because they didn't think it through, and under pressure they caved. So the power in the South African setting that resides within the school governing body is extreme. Not extreme, it's significant. And if you are in those positions, you have a significant amount of impact.
So I must say that those draft regulations, which the Western Cape, which I referred to, has been, if you look at it, there's been lots of input into it. And so there's a lot of the words may. There's often not a should. And so I also want to encourage you to have a look at it. And is there a may? Because what people will say is they'll hope that you haven't read it, and they'll go, you must. And then when you go into legislation, say, well, because often it says where reasonable, accommodation where reasonable. And also what some of the words that, I mean, this is you know, cause for justice, this is for SA, these are people who have inputted. If it's look, it must take into cognizance the rest of the children. So something like allowing a boy to play girls' sports is not in the interest of those girls. Or allowing a biological boy into a girl's change room is not in the broader interest of the school. So those are the kind of things which actually, even inside there are kind of, you say, well, this is actually not in the broad interest. So go and have a look at what has been written. The other thing is, are you all aware of Dear SA? It's a phenomenal civil society feedback tool in terms of legislation. So one of the current legislation at the moment is the Schools Act. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to whittle away the public school, because the school governing bodies have so much authority. And the typical, they want to centralize it and give it more national power. So this is currently, they've got new legislation where they're trying to increase the national government authority. They're also trying to whittle away the authority of homeschools. And this is a typical strategy. So like in Sweden, there's no homeschooling allowed, because how can you indoctrinate and spread your propaganda if you've got these independent associations busy raising up independent-minded children? So these are things that we need to act in now. So if you go to the Dear SA website, you'll see the legislation is there for comment. And we need to be commenting. We need to start now, but also then read the comment that, you know, what is really there, because there's often feedback, and you'll see there's more a may than a must. Yeah.
Goedemiddag. I'm Suzanne, and I'm a high school teacher at Stellenberg here around the corner. And I actually don't have a question. I do want to thank you for coming today. But I actually want to reassure you as parents. I'm not a parent, but I feel like I parent 1,500 teenagers. but I love teaching in our public school. Stellenberg is a public school, which means it's basically run by our governing body. And we have very solid staff members. Yes, we do have a few that are not born again Christian, I think. They're not too outspoken about it. But we do have quite a... The way we run the school is a way that I enjoy being there and teaching. And I do... I think the best thing for us is parents that are involved and parents that pray at school. The mamas wat bid, they come once a week, and they come and strengthen our hands. And we do see that the children that flourish the most in our school are those who come from solid, loving families. In Exe Baie vir mense, I think having children this time, yes, you do get anxious, and yes, you think, how can this happen? But our children are given to us for a time such as this. And they are equipped, and God, the Holy Spirit, helps us and equips them for this time, and to be able to handle all the digital stuff that we actually don't know anything about. And I'm encouraged to know more about those things. I'm not going to be on TikTok, but I am on Instagram, but I think I should equip myself better. But to be involved and to communicate with your children. I also think that communication from a young age, we do have children who have both. I spoke to a grade 9 girl last year, She had to phone her mom, and she said she couldn't get hold of her mom, but she'll phone her other mom. And I'm like, your other mom? Oh, yes, my mom's a lesbian. And I'm like, oh, really? And then I ask her questions about it. We are exposed to that. Yes, it happens in our schools, but to love them, to be equipped today, to know what the differences are and when is it medically or whatever, and when is it only a new philosophy that's coming along, it helped me a lot. I wish we were a lot more teachers here that can be equipped and that can actually, via a parent evening, get people in to speak to the parents, because I do think that we as a society are not equipped for, thank you, Ross, for a date like today. But you can send your kids to normal schools at this stage and pray with them and make a difference in society. Yeah.
Thank you, Suzanne. It is necessary, yeah. It's absolutely true. We thank God for good governing body people like Nicola and Toby and many others. We're going to close today because of our commitment to your time. And I want to thank you. Right, bye, donkey. Nicola, thank you. It was really good that you were here. Thank you. We were talking over lunchtime. The hours of preparation that have gone into the research that you're living, that you're propagating, acting as prophets in our time. Thank you for the hours. Thank you for the effort. And I'm going to close in praying a blessing over you and also for our community. And they'll still be around for a few minutes if you want to ask some questions. But thank you so much. Father, we thank you for a time such as this. We thank you for this day, God. We thank you for the gift of knowledge, the gift of revelation, God. And I pray that you will help us hear what the Spirit is saying to us, God. Help us to discern. Help us to respond, God. And we're just a handful from our communities, God. But we pray for a grace that what you've entrusted to us, God, will first be cultivated in our own souls and our own families and then in our churches and our communities, God. We pray in Jesus' name. You say, God, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, you do raise a standard. So we thank you for raising a standard today, God. And we pray that the word that was sown to us, God, will grow into fruitful trees for the sake of our community, God. In Jesus' name, we pray that you will bless Nicola, God. We pray that you will bless Raitza. We pray that you will bless Cole and Zoe, God. We pray for that what you've entrusted to them, God, we pray that you will sustain them, keep them fired up, keep them energized, God, keep them hearing and responding to your Spirit, God, and we pray that their voice will be elevated and loud and clear in this nation. In Jesus' name, amen. Bye, donkey. Thank you.